It's time to spin the big wheel of Babel and see where we land today. Chances are pretty good it's going to be stupid people, bad government, or hey, what do they actually make bologna out of anyway? And why is it so expensive? It's just how we do things here on the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Watch out for that thing.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Be careful now. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am indeed Becky Johnson. I'm Becky Johnson filling in for Ron Van Dam, who unfortunately today, he drank a little bit too much yesterday. Thanks for stopping by. Really nice to do this. I really appreciate it. All right, that's enough. That's a lot of crap I just threw at you. Welcome to the show. If you're the first time listener, I don't know where you've been. I've been doing this for a long time. Actually, I'm always doing it. It's just I'm always available. When you click on me or turn on your radio, I'm always waiting for you. I'll come over to your house and do a show. That's not true, I won't. Every once in a while, I slip into my past. Do you do that too? Do you slip into your past every once in a while just to remember the way things were? I don't care if you're 20 years old or 80 years old. You have a past. What's the earliest that you can remember? For me, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, what I'm referring to at what age do you go back and remember? And I've got a fine line between making up my own memories and actual memories. And the further I go back in my life, I don't know whether I just conjured this up or whether this actually occurred. I have a memory. I think I was about 3 years old or something like that. I have a memory of standing on the beach at Lake Placid, New York. That's in upstate New York. It's a little lake and there's a beach there. And I remember standing in the, 2 or 3 years old, just standing there holding my mother's hand, looking out at the vast ocean, which is really, was just a lake. But I thought it was an ocean because I was only like 2 or 3 and everything's bigger to me when you're little like that. But I have that recollection and I don't know if I just made that up in my head or whether that actually occurred. And at one point in my life, I asked my mother, did that actually occur? And she says, I don't know. I can't remember that far back. So, all right, so forget it then. I don't know. I think I have a memory of coming down the birth canal. And I asked my mother about that. I said, did I come down the birth canal when I was just an embryo, a fetus kind of thing? And she said, yes, you did. So, oh, look, I must really remember that then. I have, very similar to the Tunnel of Love, I was in a boat and I was going down the birth canal. And on the walls were like slimy pictures of things. And there was a, I saw the light. I saw at the end of the canal, it was a bright light. And I remember going toward, and I remember the doctor shouting from where the light was, come, come to me, child, come to me. And I remember that as I'm going down the canal. And then the canal opened up at the end, and a doctor was there with a surgical mask, and he had a large nose and a little dimple on his left chin just above the surgical mask. I remember this distinctly. And I came through the birth canal, and I put the oars back in the boat, and I came down the birth canal, and when I came out, the doctor caught me, and there were forceps involved, or salad tongs. I don't know which it was. I think it was salad tongs. And then the doctor like shook me a little bit and slapped me, and I thought, oh great, like my first moments of birth, and I'm being abused. And then they cut my umbilical cord, which was my only lifesaver, you know, so that I wouldn't like just like washed out to sea or something. And I remember all of this. And I remember my mother's first words, like, you did this to me. I think she was yelling at my father. You did this to me, I think she said. I took it to be a positive thing, but in retrospect, it wasn't. And there was a lot of screaming going on. I remember my mother saying, like, lewd things, you know, like, hey, what the fuck? She was like screaming, and I go, what's the problem here? And then I went into a little bathinet, I think they called her, or a tub or something, some kind of container. And they wheeled me into a room where it was very, very hot in there. And I kept saying to the nurse, could you turn the heat down? And she says, no, you know, this is where we put the children like you. And then I remember being wheeled into a hospital room. I remember all this so distinctly. I remember being wheeled into a hospital room where my mother was lying in bed. And I think my first words to her, I couldn't speak, but in my head it was like, hey, what's up? What's up, Ma? Hey, what's up? I remember saying that to myself. And then I remember sucking on my mother's breast. Anyway, that's where it got ugly. I remember saying to myself, well, I like her, but I don't like her that much. I remember saying that. Her milk was not tasty. It was a little sour, to be honest with you, but I never told her that because I didn't want to insult her. Anyway, I remember that the birthing room had a blue tile. There was a picture on the wall of, I guess, a famous surgeon that they had all admired for some reason. This might be for you. It is for you. Don't call me in the middle of the show, please. I'm sick of this. Now I completely forgot the whole birthing experience. Anyway, there you go. I do remember a couple of hours after I was born, I got a bowl of vanilla ice cream from one of the nurses. No, that's when I had my tonsils out. I'm so confused. By the way, seriously, I still have my tonsils. I still got them. No, not in a jar near my bed. They're still in there. They're still in my body. They never took them out. Never had a problem. Went through my whole life with my tonsils. When I was a kid, all my friends, and I use that term so loosely, all the other human beings of my age that I knew, all had their tonsils out. There was a line around the block to get your tonsils out. I never got the tonsils out. I never got COVID. Through all of that, I never got it. I spent most of my time avoiding getting COVID by washing my hands, getting plenty of vitamin D3, wearing a mask, being real careful, shutting myself in a closet, all that. Never got the COVID to this day. Then everybody I knew, everybody got COVID, but me, and now I'm an outcast. I feel like I should have gotten COVID. And we're talking about the mild one. I'm not kidding about that serious one where people died. That's not something to fool with. I'm talking about the mild COVID. Anyway, yeah, got my tonsils, never got COVID. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I've had other things that other people didn't have, which has not been enjoyable, but no, COVID and tonsils. COVID and tonsils sounds like some kind of a meal, doesn't it? I'm going to run down to the takeout place, get some COVID and tonsils. You want one? I feel like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Medical stuff is weird, isn't it, huh? Yeah. Do you remember when you were a kid and you fell down? What did you do when you fell down? You got right back up. You got right back up. There might have been a little scrape on your knee or something. You go crying to your mother, hey, I got a boo-boo. And she would like kiss it and all that and put a Band-Aid on it. And 2 seconds later, like it never happened. Now, if you fall down, you ain't getting up. No. That's it. It's so different. It's so different. I remember that. I remember falling down a lot when I was a kid because you're running around and doing stupid stuff. You're too young to know what not to do. So you're doing all the wrong stuff. And you fall down a lot. Because you're not too sure of what your body can do and can't do. And you find out, I can't do all that stuff. So you fall down. But then you get right up. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Sure, I saw a couple of people that I knew like wearing a cast because they broke their arm or their leg or something. But they were fine like 2 minutes later. But now you fall down. People say to you, stay down. Don't get up. Stay down. Whoa, that's so different. And for a split second, when you fall down when you're older, when you're lying on the ground, you know, you say to yourself, I just fell down. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. All right, let's go through the check system. Can I move this? I guess I can a little bit. Can I move this? All right. You know, get up really, really slowly. It's so different. You know, you're walking, all of a sudden you get a little bit dizzy. You get concerned. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got dizzy for no reason. Oh, no. Am I going to pass out? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is it. I've got to get a wheel. Oh, my God. When I was a kid, I got dizzy all the time. If I ran in circles. They had a little merry-go-round in the park. Got dizzy on that all the time. Fell down from dizziness all the time. Wasn't a medical condition. I just ran in all different directions too fast. Even when on some amusement park rides, where on purpose you get dizzy. Now, if I get dizzy, it's, oh no, this is it. Oh my God, here we go. Oh boy, this is the end. I'm having a seizure. I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a stroke. I mean, you don't think when you're a little kid on a merry-go-round and, you know, the thing goes too fast, you go, oh no, I'm having a stroke. The kids don't say that. It's so different now, isn't it? It's so different. But that's what it is, getting older. But anyway, memories. I don't know if they were real or if I had dreams like this. I have very vivid dreams. Very specific dreams. You know the nice thing about dreaming? People that you know that have died, family members, you know? It happens. They come back to you in your dreams. They actually exist in the little story that you're making up in your dream. We make up stories in our dreams. We make up scenarios which are absolutely absurd. And then we cast people that we know in those dreams. Our dreams are like little movie productions. My dreams are like movie productions. Actually, at the end of the dream, I actually roll credits in my head. It's amazing. But I will find some family members who have since passed away. They are key components in some of my dramatic dream sequences. And it's good to see them again. They're looking good. They have active roles in my dreams. It's really kind of nice, I guess. It's good to see him again, doing stuff, participating. It's nice. But dreams can be very exhausting too. Very traumatic. Some dreams are very traumatic, especially if you were drinking the night before. Dreams can be very traumatic. And when you wake up, you say to yourself, wow, how did I go through that? My God. That was so bizarre. In real life, things aren't that hectic, that horrible. Wow, what am I doing to myself? Dreams are amazing. There are people who write books about interpreting dreams. You can't. It's just a bunch of crap that you're putting yourself through. It's all, it means nothing. Oh, yes, I was running down the street, but I couldn't run fast enough. Oh, that's because you're insecure. Because you're feeling stressed. No, it's not. It's because I made up a dream when I'm running down the street and I couldn't dream. What's it talking about? The scenarios are so extreme. Yeah, dreams are really, I don't know, man. Sometimes before I go to bed, I say to myself, okay, here we go. Where are we going tonight? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to dream about. Some of my dreams are very sexual. Do you have those? I'm sure you do. Am I in them? Let me know. Vicariously, I guess I can enjoy this. Hey, Ron, I had a dream about you last night. It was very, very sexual. Oh, tell me about it. At least tell me about it. I mean, so at least I can enjoy it. I mean, as an afterthought. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's amazing what goes on up in that head of ours, isn't it? It's crazy. Here's something that happens when you get older. You don't understand why you can't remember some stuff. And I don't know if it's because you're losing brain cells by the minute or whether you just always didn't remember stuff that well. Because here's the thing about getting older. It's usually the same as when you were younger. It's just now you think it's more consequential than it was before. When you were younger and things happened, you didn't think much of them. When you're older and things happen, now they have substance all of a sudden. So I don't know. I mean, people lose their car keys all the time. By the way, there are no more car keys, right? There's fobs. We've been replaced by fobs. I don't know what FOB stands for. It probably stands for something, but I don't know what it is. But there's no more keys, you know. You push a button to start your car. That's cool. Because the key thing was a little annoying. Just trying to, because you're not looking at the ignition thing when you're doing that by feel, you know, just by usual feel. And sometimes, you know, you'll go, hey, where's the ignition? I'm poking the key here on the steering column, and where the hell is it? Or the key doesn't go in right away, and you go, oh, my God, oh, my God. That happened all the time. Inconsequential. People lost their keys all the time. Where'd I put my keys? Honey, where'd I put my keys? Honey? And you call your dog honey. That's the weird part. The dog doesn't know where you put your keys. Honey, where'd I put my keys? You did that when you were 20 years old. You did that when you were 30 years old. If you say that when you're 60 or 70 or 80, now it's consequential, right? No, you always did that. You always lost stuff. Isn't it fun sometimes where you have an important piece of paper or something? And you put it in a special place, and the next day you look in the special place, it's not there. Well, maybe that wasn't the special place. I forgot the special place. Now you're looking in every drawer, in every corner of your home or your apartment, and you can't find it. 2 months later, there it is. Where did I put it? You did this when you were younger, too. If you can't find where you put it when you're older, oh my God, my brain cells are gone. No. Here's the bottom line. You've always been stupid. You've always been stupid. You didn't turn stupid overnight because of a dream. You've always been stupid. Am I more stupid than I was? That's possible, but probably not. You've always been like this. You know, all of a sudden I'm starting things and then I walk away from them and I don't finish the thing that I started. You never did. You just thought you were too busy. You never did. You never finished what you started. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Because then it didn't matter. Now it's consequential. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining me. But first, this little tidbit for you.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Brandy Horton joins us. She's Vice President of Communications, Rails to Trails Conservancy. Thank you for being with us today. What is the Rails to Trails? Tell us about that.
Rails to Trails Conservancy is the nation's largest trails advocacy organization, and our goal is to really connect the nation by trail. So we look at kind of public spaces in different ways and thinking about how they can be reimagined into safe spaces to walk, bike, and be active outside.
So it's not necessarily just hiking.
No, it's so much more. It's so much more than hiking. Rail trails at their foundation are multi-use trails. They're spaces where you can hike, you can bike, you can run, walk, push a stroller. If you have a mobility device like a wheelchair, they're also incredibly accessible spaces because railroads tended not to like to go up hills. So they tend to be at a more kind of level incline and a harder packed surface. So when you experience a rail trail or a multi-use trail across the country and in the Massachusetts area, they're often very similar, so you know what to expect.
You know, my doctor tells me, like, incessantly that I need to keep my body moving and walk. And walking around the neighborhood is fun, but I know what everybody's house looks like already. But walking on a trail is like, that's exciting. And this is like an answer for everybody, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, in Massachusetts, you are one of the country's greatest trail states. It's actually my hometown. I'm originally from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. And so I grew up in the 90s when the trail movement in Massachusetts was just getting underway. And one of my first trail experiences was on the Minuteman commuter bikeway, which is kind of suburbs of Boston. And so you have so many trails right at your disposal. And it's exactly what you say. You need to walk more. You need to be more physically active. Trails are a really great way to build that activity into your everyday life. So whether that's kind of going for a walk and swapping out a short car trip for a walk or a bike ride, most of the car trips in our country are within a 20-minute walk or bike ride, which is, when you think about it that way, it's like, oh, a 20-minute walk, that's not so bad. So if you can swap out the car for a walk, you're getting in those extra minutes and you're going to make your doctor happy.
Well, I live to make my doctor happy. I assume that most of the trails are indeed in a nature type of atmosphere, which is also another plus, so we can commune with nature again as opposed to, you know, just sitting in a chair.
That's right. And one of the things about multi-use trails that is so neat is that when you are in, you could be in a suburban place or in an urban place, and you get out on the trail and you don't even realize the nature that's right there. And within just a few steps or kind of a few quick minutes, you're really immersed in green space. There might be access to water, creeks, rivers. Where I live in the D.C. area, I'm often out there with my little boys and right there in a really urban environment. We're skipping rocks and we're seeing deer. And it reminds you that nature is really all around us and something worth caring for and protecting.
Well, right now, with our civilization, that's kind of the most important thing, is to appreciate that and nature and to protect it, because that's not what we're doing a great job with so far. So that puts us in the proper mindset. And I know that's the Earth Day is a good reminder of that.
Earth Day is, and once a year, on the fourth Saturday of April, Rails to Trails Conservancy also sponsors Celebrate Trails Day, which this year happens to coincide with Earth Day. So it is the perfect time to use the trails in your community as a space to really kind of get out, experience nature, maybe find a cleanup that's happening near you, or, you know, if you want to think about how to reduce emissions in part of your everyday life, think about swapping out one of those car trips for a trail trip.
Absolutely. No question about it. And you feel better and your mind's clear. Oh, it's everything. One might say, well, where can I find trails? But of course, they make this Google machine that apparently tells you all these things. Is there a website?
The Google machine helps, but Rails to Trails Conservancy is also a really great resource. So if you're looking for things to do on Celebrate Trails Day itself, we have a ton of events that are taking place. You can go onto our website, railstotrails.org, find an event. You can also find ideas for things to do. Mm-hmm. And you can connect with our TrailLink app, which is a free trail finder database. It's on mobile devices and on web. And it geolocates where you are and shows you where there are trails near you and gives you reviews and information about the activities you can do, so you can really find and kind of design the right experience for you.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun thing to do, actually. I mean, you know, someone say, well, there may not be a lot of trails around me, which there actually are, but you're not familiar with them. But you can also get in your car and drive to a nice new place that you haven't been to before and do those trails. That's kind of exciting, too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And with 90 of those trails in the state of Massachusetts alone, there's a lot of opportunity. And something really exciting that's happening in your region is that Massachusetts is part of the growing New England Rail Trail Network. So there's a big plan across New England to connect the trails across state lines. So you could drive to a really neat trail that you might not have experienced before, but over time, you might even be able to just kind of hop on the trail and keep going from, you know, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Maine, and Rhode Island.
You could get on a trail and never, ever go home again just by connecting them.
That's exactly right. Where I live right now in the D.C. area, I can hop on a bike and make it almost all the way to Columbus, Ohio, barely interacting with traffic. And so not everyone's a long-distance bicyclist or hiker in that way, but the fact that those opportunities exist create incredible tourism potential and also make it a lot more convenient to use trails as part of your everyday life, because you're able to get where you need to go without kind of a break in the infrastructure. Yeah.
Now, it's important that, because our show does emanate out of the Massachusetts area, but all across the country, wherever you're listening, this is all, and in some cases, even more plentiful. So it's a nationwide effort that they're doing. One more time, where we can get this information.
RailsToTrails.org, and mark your calendars for April 22nd, Celebrate Trails Day. We hope to see you out there.
Perfect. Brandy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Don't forget to get out on the trail and take a walk.
Oh, God, you sound like my doctor again. Thank you, Brandy.
Have a good one.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I gotta tell you, I wish you peace.